This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم أتبع سببا حتى إذا بلغ بين السدين وجد من دونهما قوما لا يكادون يفقهون قولا صدق الله العظيم. We concluded verse number 91 in the previous segment, and we spoke about two of the three journeys of Dhul Qarnayn, the first being in the westerly direction, the second being in the easterly direction. كذلك, verse number 91, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is how it happened, وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. We surely had knowledge of everything that Dhul Qarnayn possessed. We now move on to verse number 92, which speaks about the third and the final journey of Dhul Qarnayn. However, one difference compared to the previous two journeys, in the third journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not identify the direction of the journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates on other related details of the journey without highlighting the direction. Scholars unanimously agree pretty much that the third journey was in the direction of north, Shimal. Okay, let's have a look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys to us in this third journey of Dhul Qarnayn, of this just, pious ruler. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. Then he set out on a road, meaning he then embarked on his journey. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا. And he continued traveling in this direction until بَلَغَ, he reached بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ, a pass between two mountains. سَدَّ يَسُدُّ, سَدَّن in Arabic literally means a blockage or a barrier, natural or artificial. In fiqh, the jurists talk about سَدَّن لِلْبَابِ, to block the door of evil. And at times they talk of fathan lil bab, to open the door, in a figurative context, not literal, of course. So sadda yasuddu means any form of blockage or barrier. Hatta idha balagha bayna saddain, until Dhul Qarnayn traveled in the northerly direction, as expounded by the scholars of tafsir, he came to a place, there were two mountains and there was a pass between these two mountains. Wajada min dunihima, and he found and he observed and he noticed that qawman, a nation besides these two mountains. Dunihima, Jalalain interprets as amamahuma, ahead of these two mountains. Qawman, a nation. La yakaduna yafqahuna qawla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this nation, this group of people, as a group of people who could barely understand anything. So there's great emphasis here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only say they could not understand. Allah said they could barely understand. And this is incorporated in the meaning of yakadu. Kada yakadu harful muqaraba. So this is the beauty of the Arabic language. When we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. O Allah, thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we seek for help. Now, the question is, where do we get the translation of alone, exclusive, right? Iyaka means you, nasta'in means to seek help, from babi istif'al, that is to seek, aun means help. Iyaka na'bud, abada ya'budu, to worship. But the grammarians will tell you, philologists will tell you, experts on the language will tell you that taqdeemul maf'ool yufidul hasr, to bring the maf'ool forward, because the general construction of the sentence grammatically is the fi'l, fa'il and maf'ool. But here there's a slight change in the format of it and you have brought one aspect forward. So taqdeemul maf'ool yufidul hasr creates the meaning of exclusiveness. Hence we say thee alone do we worship, thee alone do we worship. So harful muqaraba adds to the emphasis. They could barely understand, which means, according to Bayanul Quran, they were qaleelul faham. Their understanding was impaired. So it was not only a language barrier, because a language barrier does not mean a person cannot understand. If it's you speak in foreign languages, it is challenging. But if the person is wise, he's intelligent, he's smart, he's calculated, العاقل تكفيه الإشارة والجاهل لا تكفيه الرسالة, then you can still do that with little gesture and expression and sign, and it will say a lot. Once I was conducting a workshop in the UK, in Birmingham, for people who have speech impairment and hard hearing. And after I concluded the workshop, I asked them, of course, it was then interpreted via the interpreter, that if I meet a person who has a speech impairment and hard hearing, how can I engage with such a person? What would be the way to reach out to them? And the brother gave me such a profound answer. He said to me, via the interpreter, for example, you're traveling, you board a flight, you speak English, you speak Arabic, you speak Urdu, you speak whatever language, and you meet a person next to you who speaks Dutch or French or speaks Chinese or speaks German or speaks any other language, how would you interact with him? And I said, just the basic courtesy, you know, expression, gesture, sign, smile. Kindness is a language the blind can see, the deaf can hear. And he said, well, do the same for us, do the same for us. And it really struck a chord with me, and it really, you know, what drove a message to me, that if you can just be kind and courteous, then a lot can be accomplished. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not omit courtesy amongst yourself. Be courteous and cordial. Be courteous and cordial. How often between quarreling couples, more so when they are in advanced age, we forget the basic etiquettes of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 93, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا, they could barely understand, which means in addition to a language barrier, there was also an impaired understanding. However, verse number 94 says, despite the limitations of communication and despite the challenges of communication, Dhul Qarnain somehow engaged them and they got their message across. They got their message across. A person says, oh, how was your dialogue with so-and-so? Oh, my word. It was so agonizing. It was so frustrating. This person just could not be rational on any level. But in the end, well, in the end, we had a breakthrough and finally we struck a deal and signed a document. But it was tedious. It was challenging. It was daunting. So it was challenging, it was daunting, but ultimately a communication was established. And some says that some scholars mention that amongst the many privileges that Dhul Qarnain enjoyed, وَقَدْ أُوتِيَ اللُّغَاتِ, he was a man who spoke multiple languages. He was a man who spoke multiple languages. قَالُوا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Verse number 94, they communicated, however, through sign, through expression, to indication, whatever, but the Quran conveys their sentiments. And again, on a different note, can you imagine the tolerance of this king? Generally, unfortunately, when a person cannot express himself or it's difficult or communication is a barrier, how many of us would give additional time and patience and perseverance to such an individual? How many of us will afford that individual time? But subhanAllah, this pious king gave them time and allowed them to convey their message, and that's not all. Listen to what unfolds beyond. قالوا, they said, يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ أَوْ ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ, verily Yajuj and Majuj, Gog and Magog. We will expound on it briefly in with regards to the related details of these two tribes. Ismani, two names for two tribes, right? Ya'juj, Ma'juj. Ajami, of course, non-Arab tribes. Mufsiduna fil ard, are causing mischief here. They are causing mischief here. So they come over here, they loot, they cause mischief, they cause mayhem, anarchy, lawlessness, and corruption here. Inna ya'juj wa ma'juj mufsiduna fil ard. Fahal naj'alu laka kharjan. Can we arrange for you some revenue? Kharjan ay ju'lan. Some revenue, we gather some money and we pay you for your skill and your expertise. You have the clout, you have the muscle, you have the strength. فَهَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. that على أن تجعل بيننا وبينهم سدا, so that you can erect a wall, you can construct a wall, a boundary wall, a rampart. You can put up some form of boundary and protective and defensive wall for us here. Would you consider, we gather our money, your presence is really much appreciated, but while you are here, can you help us? Subhanallah. Now listen to the pious, Allah-fearing, just ruler. And that takes us into verse number 95. Verse number 95. So they say, Dhul Qarnayn responded by saying, مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٍ. And in terms of Nahwa, مَا مَكَّنَنِي رَبِّي فِيهِ خَيْرٍ. That my Lord has aided me sufficiently. In terms of strength and wealth, Allah has given me a lot. I have power, I have might, I have clout, I have wealth. So I'm not going to tax you or take any form of compensation from you. Now let's pause for a moment, my brother and my sister. And this is what distinguishes the selfish from the selfless. To make a distinction, is every moment of helping someone seen through the lenses of generating revenue? Or can you come to a point in your life that, you know what, I have enjoyed and I have had a lot in my life. It's now time to add value to the lives of others. We surely cannot help everyone, but everyone can help someone. And that will have a ripple effect, and that will change the demographics of life around us. I was once in Australia, and I will not forget this, in Perth. We were having breakfast, and there was a recent revert into Islam. And he asked me a question. He said, why is interest and usury forbidden in Islam? And without going into academics, I gave him a logistical explanation to him. Of course, we know categorically, explicitly, emphatically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about it being forbidden and prohibited. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. Allah speaks about the grave consequences of those who consume interest when they will stand up from their graves, when they will stand up from their graves. So I said to him that the system of interest thrives on exploitation. It thrives on exploitation. A person has $50,000, B doesn't have a dime, he needs $1,000 or 1,000 rands, and he comes to, you know, A and he says, listen, I need to borrow $1,000. Brother A has $50,000, it is sitting there, he doesn't need it. He says, no, I will borrow you $1,000, but you need to pay me $1,500. So now you're making the wealthy wealthier, you're making them super elite, and you're taking the poorer into abject poverty. You're taking them into abject poverty and penury. The man who is battling to have $1,000 now has to pay back $1,500. And this is the system of exploitation in which you're creating this gap and gulf between the elite and the poor, which then gives rise to a host of social evils given the disparity in society. While Islam advocates to you and impresses upon you that give that $1,000, borrow it to the brother, and if you can be lenient in giving him grace, so be it. وَإِن كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرًا. And if the debtor is a destitute, then give him respite till it is easy for him to pay. Pay a bill when able. Pay a bill when able. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا. And if you can be graceful enough to waive it, you can be graceful enough to waive that loan. خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's good for you, my brother. It's good for you, my sister. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If only you knew. Recently, I was driving and someone was unwell, admitted into the hospital. And as I was driving past, I passed by some of his buildings and his assets. And I looked at his empire and I said, the poor person is unwell in hospital. All these assets now are of no value, of no meaning. And as his life is slipping away, it's becoming less valuable and less valuable. till it comes to the point where he takes his last breath and now it doesn't belong to him anymore. It belongs to his heirs. So Islam would tell you, borrow, be graceful, and if you can waive it, all the better. And then what would happen? Your 50,000 became 49 or became 45. But now Allah will cause blessings and barakah to descend in that 45,000. And then what's the benefit? That $45,000 will give you more mileage than somebody else's $450,000. And this is not far-fetched. What is barakah? Al-manafi'ul kathira bi asbabil qaleela. Maximum output with minimum provisions. So we generally interpret barakah as the growth and the development from 1 to 2. While that might be correct in certain times and situations where things are growing, advancing, evolving, increasing, multiplying. But the scholars say barakah is that same little small shop. From there, your children got married, Hajj and Umrah was performed, so many people were helped and assisted. Barakah and goodness continued. That's the beauty of Islam. When Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was sitting on the throne, my brother and my sister, and his brother was walked in during the years of famine and drought. And a formal procedure took place where they gave money and they were given grain and food. But what did Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam say to the servants in the court and to the servants in the palace? He said, اِجْعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ. These are my brothers. You've taken the money. Give them the food and the grain. But return their money to their saddle bags. I'm not going to drain my brothers. I'm not going to exploit my brothers. I'm not going to take money from my own blood, from my own kith and kin. And these were the very ones who plotted his assassination. Hassan bin Abi Sinan, well, I'm coming back to the point here, and that we are laboring the point of verse number 95, in which Dhul Qarnain tells these people that, listen, when it comes to money, don't worry. Allah has given me enough. مَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا آتَاكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بِهَدِيَّتِكُمْ تَفْرَحُونَ. Oh my word. The 19 juz of the Quran, Surah An-Naml, the chapter on the colony of ants. When the queen of Saba, right, Bilqis, tried to impress Sulaiman alayhi salam with her kingdom and her empire, and she sent 1,000 bricks of gold and silver and valuable gifts and handsome gifts to impress. And she said, let's see if he's one of the regular kings and monarchs that will be tantalized by the embellishments of this world. And so the servants came in their pomp and their glory, in their opulence and their affluence, and they came to flash the wealth. What did Sulaiman alayhi salam say? مَا آتَانِي اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا آتَاكُمْ. What my Allah has given me is way more superior than what you have. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بِهَدِيَّتِكُمْ تَفْرَحُونَ. Go thrill yourself, go fascinate yourself, go impress yourself. اِرْجِعْ إِلَيْهِمْ فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّهُمْ بِجُنُودٍ لَا قِبَلَ لَهُمْ بِهَا. So the point I'm saying is, of course you need to generate revenue and you need money, but I'm sure you can differentiate between the wealthy and the poor. My brother, Allah has made you a doctor. Will you turn away a patient who comes to your surgery and your practice and who doesn't have funds? And I think I want to share a moment here and pay tribute and homage to many doctors who I know very personally. And I don't want to mention anyone's name, lest I exclude another. Subhanallah, amazing doctors, amazing, selfless individuals that I can press a button and they would respond. And I have seen how my mom has prayed for them and I pray for them. At the odd hours of the night, you know what, to be in service of people, hats off to them, salute to them, great, wonderful. It just brings joy to the heart. It just brings tears of happiness to the eyes. So we need that selfless spirit. A person comes in your shop, he wants to buy something. It's lunchtime. I'm asking you, my brother, I know you need to make money. You can see this man is laboring outside. He's trying to put together some coins. and he's seeing if he can afford himself a soft drink and a pie. And you know what? There is a shortfall of some small amount. Are you going to tell him, sorry? No, unfortunately not. Get it and come. No, my brother. Then you've lost your touch of humanity. No problem. That's fine. Whatever you have, it's okay. And to you, my brother, who might be standing on the side of this person, just tell him, take it and walk away and just pay the bill. Just pay the bill. Surprise someone. The other day, my dad said to myself and siblings, wow, what a profound advice. May Allah reward him handsomely. Ameen. He said, if I have to give you, my children, a formula of my 76 years of life. You know, my ears popped up before I heard what was to follow. 76 years. If I have to tell you what I have discovered is the formula of happiness, I swear by Allah, my children, the formula of happiness is making others happy. The more you make others happy, the happier you will be. And the more you wait for others to make you happy, the more miserable you will be. My word. I said, my dad, may Allah reward you. I hugged him, I kissed him, I thanked him. I profusely appreciated it. You know what? How profound. And then he said to us, you drive in, you see an elderly person walking home, you see a person carrying a load, stop your car, take them on board, just buy them something. They might be going back to a simple little hut, you know what, in a village without any amenities and luxuries. But for them, you have brought happiness to their life. And the happiness that it will give you will just be indescribable. Hassan bin Abi Sinan, a woman came begging by him. And then he gave her, just modestly gazed at her, and then he gave her 400 dirhams. So the servant observed the entire interaction, and then this lady left. So Hassan bin Abi Sinan, after the lady left, the servant asked him that, oh, respected teacher, mentor, this was a beggar. You could have appeased her by a simple dirham. Why did you give her so lavishly? He said, I observed this woman was a woman of beauty. She was a woman of elegance, and she was in a crisis and desperation. And I did not want her desperation to compel her that she has to offer her body in lieu of revenue. I wanted to dignify her, honor her, privilege her. Wow. Unfortunately, this is the difference between us and our pious predecessors. They would pray for the vulnerable, P-R-A-Y, while we, unfortunately, P-R-E-Y, pray on the vulnerable. There's a big difference. If only we can convert that E to A, and instead of praying on the vulnerable, start praying for the vulnerable, the world will be a different place, my brother. We employ someone not to aid them, but to exploit their desperation. You can impress the world with your action, but you cannot impress the Creator until your motive is pure and clean. And remember, Allah will judge you by your motive as well as your action. So that is the difference. And that is what Dhul-Qarnayn said to these people. مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٍ. What my Allah has given me is adequate. فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ. Help me physically, but I'm not going to take a dime from you. No, not at all. And wallah, there are people out there. There are people out there who are selfless. I have interacted with tens of hundreds of such people. And Allah knows how I pray for them. Allah knows how I pray for them. And it's just amazing. It's just an amazing quality. The sense of happiness and fulfillment it gives you to just, you know what, buy a meal for someone or pay a bill for someone or surprise someone or excite someone. Or just do some gesture for someone. You know what? Okay, this time we're not going for holiday. We're buying and arranging a holiday trip for someone who never went for holiday. My word. I often say it's very difficult to poison the mind of someone against a generous person. If you want to indoctrinate someone and say, this man is evil, you know, be careful, you can do whatever. But if the person against whom you are trying to indoctrinate people is a generous, it is a losing battle, because generosity and selflessness is such an amazing feat. And it's such an amazing attribute that it blocks out hundreds of negative traits. وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ عُيُوبُكَ فِي الْبَرَايَا وَسَرَّكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهَا غِطَاءُ تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ كَمَا قِيلَ السَّخَاءُ. These are not the words of Sulaiman Mullah. These are the words of Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ عُيُوبُكَ فِي الْبَرَايَا. And if you have committed many crimes and perpetrated many offenses, وَسَرَّكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهَا غِطَاءُ. And you're desperately searching for a veil to cover your vice and your evils. تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَائِ. You're guaranteed safest way to veil and screen and block and cover your vices is generosity. فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ كَمَا قِيلَ السَّخَاءُ. Okay, let's move on. Verse number 95, we're still discussing. مَا مَكَّنِّي أَيْ مَا مَكَّنَنِي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٌ. What my Lord has given me is sufficient. فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ. Aid me physically. أَجْعَلْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. I shall construct a fortified wall between you and them. So they agree, they oblige, they happy, they excited, they elated, and the process commences. The process commences, verse 96. Atuni zubar al hadid. Dhulqarnain says to them, bring some pieces of iron. So the Quran only speaks about iron, but of course other raw materials were also used in, which are implied in the context as mentioned by the scholars. Like there would be some wood, etc., you know, that was also used in the process. The iron was used as bricks, while there was wood and coal as well that was used in the process. Atuni, give me zubar. Zubar is the plural of the word zubratun. Like ghurafun is the plural of the word ghurfatun, on the same wazan. So atuni zubar al hadid, give me iron pieces, iron sheets. Hatta idha sawa bayna sadafain, he then placed it between the two mountains. So sadaf means janibul jabal, the cliff of the mountain, the cliff of the mountain. So they brought it, and in Bayanul Quran it is mentioned the reason why the iron pieces or iron sheets were mentioned, because this was one of the more difficult things to find in that strange, isolated location in the northerly direction. Hence, this was focused or highlighted amongst the other raw materials that were used in the process by Dhulqarnain in the construction of this defensive wall. Hatta until Ida, when Sawa, he leveled Baina between Sadafaini, the two cliffs of the mountain. Then what did he do? Qalan Fuhu. He commanded them, to ignite it first. Of course, to ignite it. And like I mentioned, there were other raw materials in it as well. As it was ignited, and then he told them to blow. He told them to blow. Qalan Fuhu, unfuhu, blow. Hatta Ida ja'alahu naran aykan nari. And now it became red, and it became flamey, and it became hot. Now he said to them, "Atuni ufrig alayhi qitra." Give me some molten copper. Scholars say, of course, he had teams to help him and assist him. You will do this, do this. And remember, this is helping a nation with whom he could barely communicate. So number one, selfless. Number two, no charge. Number three, doing a solid structure. Number four, communication barrier. Wow, wow. This is the message, my brother. This is the message. Reading the Quran, knowing the tale, knowing the narrative, I used to always tell my students, we come to a verse, we understand the lughawi tahqiq, we know the etymology, the grammar, you know the variation of the qiraat, you know Imam Warsh reads like this, you know Imam Susi reads like this, Imam Hamza reads like this, Imam Kisai reads like this here. You understand all the related sciences, but you do not execute the injunction. You do not execute the injunction. Then you've missed the boat. You've missed the boat. The aim is to understand the beauty, internalize it, imbibe it, and execute it. Atuni ufrig alayhi qitra. Give me molten copper. And he pours it on that, that process. So we have that iron sheets. There are other raw materials. It's then ignited, and then the molten copper is poured in so that it covers all the holes, and the wall is now made solid, and the structure is very firm, which will not allow them to scale it in any way. We'll conclude on that note, and that wraps up verse number 96. The takeaway point for us is that do someone a favor without claiming any recognition or claiming any revenue. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.